A doctor or pharmacist might give a patient instructions on how to take prescription medication, but how to store that drug is not often discussed. This week on WRVO's Health and Wellness Show, Take Care, hosts Lorraine Rapp and Linda Lowen speak with Dr. Elizabeth Higdon, an instructor in pharmacy practice at the Albany College of Pharmacy, about how to store your prescriptions to maintain their effectiveness.
Storing prescription drugs. I sometimes think people don't think so much about storing them as, oh, I'm going to put them in the medicine cabinet in the bathroom, or I'm just going to leave them on the kitchen table.
Yes, unfortunately, your bathroom is one of the worst places to store medications. Medications really need to be stored in a dry, cool place away from light. And nowadays, if you think about your medicine cabinet, you know that it's typically next to a shower, next to a bath, exposed to hot temperatures. There could be a lot of moisture in the air. And being exposed to high temperatures or moisture could start to break down medication.
But they're sealed in those little plastic containers that are hard to get off. How sensitive are these pills and capsules to, let's say, a half hour of moisture every 24 hours?
It really depends. So medications could be sensitive, but we also like to think that there are certain medical conditions and certain people that are more sensitive to medications. And then if we're using a medication for a life or death reason, obviously we want it to be as potent as possible. So you also need to be thinking about what you're using the medication for. For the most part, the potency of the medication is going to be decreased if it's exposed to these high temperatures or moistures for long periods of time. There aren't too many medications out there that actually get toxic, but if you're going to invest the money in the medications, why decrease the potency? You want to have them as strong as possible when you're taking them.
So where should we be putting them? And are there some medications that are more volatile than others? Does it depend on the medication?
Honestly, when my patients or my students ask me this question, I feel like I spend more time ruling out areas to keep them than actually recommending good areas. The ideal place to keep a medication would be somewhere like a linen cabinet or in a pantry that's away from heat. We want them to be stored at room temperature, which is typically 68 to 77 degrees, not be exposed to light, and then decrease as much moisture as possible.
So I'm guessing carrying it in your purse does not meet those requirements.
It depends on if you carry your purse like I do, where I get lazy and throw it in the back of my hot trunk, or if you keep it on you at all times.
Let's move on to the disposing of these medications. When you do find you have extra medication that is no longer needed or it's expired, whereas you might have just opened the pill box and dumped it in the toilet.
We used to recommend flushing medications down the toilet. However, that is not the case anymore. In the late 2000s, the wastewater technology started to advance, and we really started to notice that there could be changes in fish due to medications getting in there. Unfortunately, we don't know what the severity of the problems are yet, but as technology continues to improve, we're hoping to be able to fix this problem. But really, preventing medications from getting into the wastewater is the main thing that we can all do right now. I would recommend to my patients that they take them to a drug take-back day that usually occurs in April every year. There are also police stations in my area that will take back medications. There are also certain pharmacies that will do monthly drug take-back days, but you'd have to determine what pharmacies are in your area.
That's pharmacist Elizabeth Higdon speaking with Lorraine Rapp and Linda Lowen. More of their conversation can be heard on Take Care, WRVO's Health and Wellness Show, Saturday morning at 6:30 and Sunday evening at 6:30. Support for this story comes from the Health Foundation for Western and Central New York.